So, Father, we just thank you for another night of being in one accord and just fellowshipping together with the brethren and just enjoying our time together. And we just thank you for just blessing this evening. Let us edify you. Let us edify each other. Just guide us this night, Lord. And we just thank you for just providing this time that we can come together and pray for each other and share your testimonies and revelations and all that you're doing in our lives. So we just call tonight blessed. We just come against the principalities and powers. If I try to bring distractions, try to bring any issues in the equipment or the software, we just rebuke that now in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you for just a blessed night in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's start off with prayer. If there's anybody that needs prayer and or wants to pray for somebody or wants to pray for, you know, a situation or that, that's, you know, we'd like to, you know, start with that tonight. So does anybody need prayer or like to pray? All right. And
Tim.
Hey, Wade.
Hey, I have a friend that just got out of the mental hospital, but he wasn't ready to get out. He's a Christian. We had planned to go to Tennessee once everything was secured in both of our lives, my wife and I and him. But he got out of the hospital, and he was expecting to die, and he couldn't escape the fear. And so I want to pray that these demons that are attacking him will be gotten rid of, and that he would be restored. He listens to UBM when he comes to visit me from Baton Rouge.
Okay.
We listen to our favorite UBM stuff. He's elderly, so he doesn't like computers and CD players and things like that, but I pray that he would function better, and especially concerning this mental illness. His name is Wayne Hoffman.
Is Wayne? Okay. And, I mean, other than fear, I mean, what is he, what's he dealing with? Or what's he being attacked with?
He has blasphemous words, where his mind thinks, hears blasphemous words. An attack on his thoughts, like he's calling God something a certain way. He thinks he knows it's not himself. It's not what he wants to do. It's not his thoughts, but it comes on him. And I think we were getting close to that, to finding out what was causing that in his life, and then he had this breakdown. But I know it's evil spirits that are attacking him because I don't want to get too personal.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. Well, it sounds like if you were getting close, I mean, the enemy was just, was just kind of freaking out. Didn't want to go. So, all right, let's pray for Wayne.
Did he come back to the hospital too, or did he get healed? Did he get healed?
Okay. So, Father, right now, we just come together and we put our faith together, everybody in this room right now, and we just lift up Wayne to you right now, and we just come against these demonic spirits that are attacking his mind, and we just rebuke them in the name of Jesus. We come against this lying demon that is lying to him, this Antichrist spirit that is blaspheming the Lord. We just rebuke those spirits right now in the name of Jesus. And I just come against death, and I just forbid that spirit right now from manifesting in here. The fear, you get off him in Jesus' name. We bind you in the name of Jesus. We come against witchcraft and mind control that's taking over his mind, and we just bind you and we forbid you in the name of Jesus. And we just claim right now that Wayne has got the mind of Christ. And he's got a sound mind, and we just claim that right now in the name of Jesus. And we forbid these attacks on his mind. And Father, we just ask you just give him rest and peace and, just a total sound mind, and just fill him full of your truth. and just show him his authority against these principalities and powers. And we just stand in faith for him, Lord, that you'll just grant him deliverance and a new mind. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. If anybody's got anything else they want to pray, go ahead. All right.
Well, let me. Can I pray just a little bit?
Maybe.
Father, in the name. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over all of the enemy that's attacking Wayne right now. In the name of Jesus, we bind up your works and activities and cast you off of him in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that he is free. He's free. He's delivered. And Father, we ask and we pray that you place great faith in him to believe that and to teach him, Lord, that anytime that spirit comes back, he has authority over it and he can command it to go. And we thank you for it, Lord. And we ask and we pray, Lord, that you place it in him to get in the word and to make that word an absolute necessity in his life, Father. And we thank you for that. And in the name of Jesus, we come against any kind of pain in his back. In Jesus' name, we command it to go. And we thank you, Lord, that every part of his back is healed. Every cell, every tissue, every joint, every bone, every muscle is healed in his back in the name of Jesus. And Father, we praise you that Wayne's going to come on with a brand new good testimony glorifying you, Lord, of the things that you've done for him in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask and we pray that you teach him to speak as an oracle of God and not as what the natural looks like to him. And we thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Now, Wade, you believe that?
Yes, I do.
Amen, brother. We're believing with you, okay?
Okay.
God bless you.
Got to mute me again.
Okay. All right. Anybody else want to pray? Any prayer? Have somebody on their heart? I'm going to pray right now. So I'm just going to lift up, Father, I just lift up Michael to you right now. And we just come against this attack on his body. We just come against these back spasms, attacking him. We just rebuke those spasms now in the name of Jesus. We command those nerves to settle down. We command them to be healed in the name of Jesus. We come against this attack on his lungs, the shortness of breath, and we just command those lungs to open up in Jesus' name, and just breath to be easy and flowing. And we just thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we just these pains and these lies in his head, we just rebuke those now. We just rebuke condemnation in Jesus' name. We forbid that from manifesting. And Lord, we just ask you just give him rest and peace, and just allow him to rest in you, that you will just speak to him in his dreams, and you'll just put him into your rest. And we just thank you for doing a mighty work in him, Lord, and just delivering him and healing him. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I'd like to pray too.
Go ahead.
If I can. Y'all believe with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you have told us we're not under the curse, and I'm not under the curse. And in the name of Jesus, I command this heaviness in my chest to leave me right now in the name of Jesus. And I command total obedience. You must go right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that I am healed in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that Michael is healed as well in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And Lord, I thank you for healing Michael's knee. We just forbid that any pain and any swelling or any cracking or anything like that. We just thank you that it is totally restored in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else need to pray? Or
yes, hello. My name is Bill Rowan.
Hey, Bill.
Hi. Yes. I didn't expect to be on here tonight, but I had to stay home from work. My wife, who was healed of epilepsy, she started having seizures. And I believe that the demonic attacks, I think a demon just talked to me from her. And I rebuked him, and he was just making fun of me. And I would just appreciate it if you could pray for her healing from epilepsy and to have the demons to be rebuked, because I'm having a hard time with it. Could you do that, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
So, Father, right now we just lift up Linda, and we just come against these spirits of epilepsy, and we just come against these seizures right now. We just forbid this attack on Linda's body right now. We command those spirits to loose her now and to get off her now in Jesus' name. We come against these mocking spirits, and we command you to get off her now and go in the name of Jesus. We command your mouth to be shut in Jesus' name. And Father, we just thank you that Linda was healed at that cross. It was already done. And we just thank you for just a total manifestation. And we just come against these false symptoms right now. And we just forbid them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe it with you, with you, Bill. We all believe with you. You know, when we pray, those of you that are muted, I would just go ahead and pray in the spirit too for these people that we're praying for. You know, that's what we do. We pray for one another. And I know some of you are, but I'm just going to remind you that that's a good time to pray in the spirit as you're muted and help us out here. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So, Bill, you know, as Michael shared before, is that whenever, I mean, you shared the testimony that, you know, we prayed and she was healed. She had no seizures, anything like that. And the enemy always goes, does a, whatever Michael says, a U-turn or a wheelie and comes back. And it's just to try the faith and to see if, we're going to fall into fear or see if he can get us to doubt. And they'll open up the door so he doesn't have to go, that he can stay. And so you just got to just stand on your authority and stand on the promise that she is healed, and you've got authority over those principalities. Amen.
Amen. I agree. And I had her rebuke the demons also, and she really believes. But when she goes into that seizure state, it's like she's not even there. You know, and so we're sticking to it, and I'm here tonight. I didn't go into work. Because my wife comes first, and I know it's a demonic attack. And she threw away her medicine. She hadn't had any seizures. She believes she was healed. So I believe that the demons are coming back and trying to make her change her mind. And I really appreciate that. And thank you, God, for you.
Amen. So, Bill, are you able to mute your phone?
I just put it on mute.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Okay.
As far as that. So, okay. Anybody else need prayer or want to pray or have somebody on their heart? Thank you, Lord.
I think I need prayer. I had an experience the other night, or the other morning. I woke up, and I have a night light outside of my room, and so there is light that I can see in my bedroom, but all of a sudden, this huge black mass came into my room, and at first I started to feel fear. But instead, I began to rebuke it and commanded it to leave in the name of Jesus. And it did. And then the light came back in the room again, and I really don't understand this.
Okay. Well, that's a spirit, that's a demon. It happens to us. as far as that, there's times where, you know, even Trisha's got more of discerning of spirits than I do, but there's times that she can, you know, sometimes the black gets blacker, or, you know, she discerns that, you know, there's a presence there. But we've got full authority. When you commanded it to go, it went.
Yes.
And Michael, you know, were you going to say something?
Yeah, the thought that came to my mind is witchcraft. Somebody maybe you've had problems with in the past, maybe doing it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I come against any kind of witchcraft thrown toward Carol. In Jesus' name, I cast it down as null and void. She's a child of God. She's not under the curse. And we thank you, Lord, that you've got a wall of protection around her in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that this witchcraft is stopping right now in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
And Father, right now, we just call your angels over Carol's house right now, and we just plead the blood of Jesus over that house. We cleanse every room in that house, and we command every spirit that is not of you out of that house right now in the name of Jesus, and we forbid them to return in Jesus' name. And we just thank you that that house is cleansed, and we call all principalities and powers out of that house. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else?
Just a quick note for Charlie and Linda. Charlie, it's going to be over at Jeff and Sandy's tomorrow night.
Come on, no advertisements.
Well, I want to make sure he got it.
I'm just messing with you. All right. Anybody else need prayer or want to pray?
Hi, everyone. It's Dave. How you doing?
Awesome.
Great. See, I've got a neighbor that's dying, and I've tried to talk to him in the past, and it just, you know, doesn't go very far. I thought maybe we'll just open up a prayer for him here. Maybe the door will open up so I can still talk to him. And he's got a disease that's kind of crippling him right now. It's taken away his ability to breathe, his lungs. So he's got the hospice people over there. And I know it's just, it's demonic. But, you know, getting people over the hump of even just talking about Christ and then taking and bringing them the level of faith is another thing. You know, so it's big steps there. But I just like to have that door open. And I know if I go over there, it's not going to be the atmosphere to try to bring any kind of healing just because nobody believes. And so it's like, it's kind of hard to bring that through. But if there's a way, maybe the Lord can open the door. So I guess I'll start out there. Father, thank you for bringing me together with the brothers so that we can bring petitions for others to your throne. And today I'm bringing Jim Keistra up because you know his situation, Father, that he's dying. The demons have his lungs to keep him from breathing, and he's been struggling for the last couple of years with this. And now he's finally on the last hours of his life. Lord, I ask that you, I've prayed about this already, but I ask that you open the door to allow me to go over and give me the strength and the words to say that what you would like to hear him to hear, and open his heart so he can hear these things that he needs to hear. And if there's divine healing in store here, then let it be, Father. Let it flow. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Savior.
Thank you, Lord. Father, right now, we just ask you just grant him salvation. Just grant him your mercy, Lord. Father, your grace. Father, we praise that pray that you will just give him a change of mind, that you'll grant him repentance. Father, that you will visit him in this time and that make yourself, you know, known to him, real to him in a dream, in a vision, just or show up in his room, Lord. And Father God, we just ask, Lord, if you want David to administer to him, that you will just open the door and that door will be open and Dave will know you know, and be led of you as far as that. So, Lord, right now we just thank you for working in this man's life, and he's in his last days, Lord, and we just thank you for your mercy over him. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, Lord, lots of times that fear of the Lord works real good. And I ask, Lord, that you just blanket him with the fear of the Lord, and that he would see that where he's headed, Father, and that you would grant repentance to him and draw him near unto you, Lord, and that he would cry out to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for saving this man, Jim. And we thank you, Lord, that he's going to be in the kingdom. In Jesus' name, we just believe. We're enduring in our faith to believe for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right, who else?
I'd like to pray. I'd like to pray for revival in this fellowship here and in all the fellowships of God, chosen ones for this hour. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you hear us. You hear the prayers of us, Lord. We really need revival, Lord, and we're praying for it. We thank you, Lord, that when we gather together, that there's going to be such a rushing wind that goes across this fellowship, Lord, that there's going to be crying out, Lord. Not only that, there'll be joy and peace and rest, and Lord, you're going to show it. You're going to empower us to walk in that power that you want us to walk in that former rain and the latter rain, Lord. And I ask and I pray that spark of revival start right here in Jesus' name, and that spark of revival would go from here all across the world in the name of Jesus, Lord. We're looking for it. We're crying out for it, Lord. We're praying for it, Lord, and we're praying, fasting and praying for that, Lord, and we thank you, Lord. We just feel a mighty shaking coming, Lord, a mighty shaking, and we thank you, Lord, that your anointing is coming with it in Jesus' name, and we long for it, Lord, to be set free from these things that have hindered our walk before, Lord, that you're going to free us up, deliver us, and get us on that great walk that you have for each one of us, Lord, filled with miracles, filled with the glory of God. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name.
Amen. I agree with that, Michael. All right, anybody else want to pray or want us to pray for someone? All right. I was going to share, I don't think I shared this Tuesday, but I woke up early. It might have been Tuesday morning or Wednesday, I'm not sure. And my heart was heavy, and it was really heavy, you know, for the brethren. And I'm just seeing a lot of, you know, just attacks. You know, just there's just, you know, strife and sickness and just, you know, different things that I'm hearing, you know, amongst the brethren. And and my heart was heavy, and I was just kind of praying and, you know, for, you know, the people that the Lord was putting on my heart. And I kind of cried out to the Lord, and I was like, I'm just seeing, you know, just a lot of, you know, spiritual warfare and a lot of things going on. And I know that a lot of us are in trials, and, you know, it's crucifying the flesh and that, you know, but I was just, you know, seeing that there was just a lot of, you know, a lot of attacks going on, and I just wasn't seeing, you know. I mean, we've been having victories, but it just seemed like, you know, it was, you know, there was just, you know, not a lot of power and answer prayer for, you know, for some of, you know, some of the brethren. And I just was asking, I was like, Lord, you know, why, you know, why is this? And I asked by faith, and I just, you know, closed my eyes and just, you know, opened up my Bible and put my finger right down on, because they repent not. And that was in Matthew 11:20. And the Lord was just showing me, you know, reading, you know, Matthew 20, you know, and on that, you know, I believe this is a day of judgment, and Jesus was reproaching, you know, the cities where he had done most of his miracles because they would not change their mind or change, you know, their purpose. And after seeing the power of God through the miracles that he performed, they continued in the same mind, in the same thoughts, in the same feelings, in the same reasonings, in the same judgments, in the same selfishness, in the same unforgiveness, and in the same attitudes. And he's, you know, it went on and says, woe unto the Chorazin, woe on the Bethesda, for if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which were done in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, shall thou be exalted unto heaven, thou shalt go down unto Hades. For if thy mighty works had been done in Sodom, which were done in thee, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And so I was really seeing where, because they repent not, or they, you know, they're not changing their mind. And he gave me John 3:27, a man can receive nothing except it has been given him from heaven. So it really caused me to search my heart and really, you know, just, you know, crying out to the Lord to, you know, just grant me a change of mind. And but it was just something that the Lord just spoke to me the other morning, and I just thought I would, you know, bring it forth, kind of share it with you guys. So it's just, it's really, you know, sometimes we come to the kingdom, but we've got a lot of the old mindset, and and that's what the Lord was showing me this week. So, all right. All right, let's, does anybody have any praise reports, any testimonies they'd like to share?
Hello?
Aaron? How you doing, buddy?
I'm blessed. I am just blessed. Praise the Lord. How are you?
Oh, I am blessed, too. You got a testimony for us?
Sure do. I sure do. And I felt like the Lord kind of wanted me to share this word. I believe I sent it to you before, just to kind of start it out. It has to do with repentance.
Okay, amen.
Yeah, the Lord gave this just a little bit ago, last week sometime. Okay, so the Lord was saying to repent means for you to give into my love. When you give into my love, such is true repentance. When you choose my love over evil, this is true repentance. For no one walks in repentance before me if they are not choosing to surrender themselves over to my love. If they are not giving into my love, then they are not looking at me. If they are not looking at me, then they are not turned to me in repentance. In and of a truth, one must look to me to give into my love. Otherwise, they have no love within them. Look at me, my son, and know that to walk in true repentance before me, to stay in right standing before me is simple, that in order to give into my love, which is repentance, you must look at me. And that just really that sunk into my heart, you know, and the Lord was speaking that. And the Lord's been talking to me a lot about repentance lately and how powerful it is. I definitely get a witness on what the Lord's doing there with you, brother Tim.
Yeah, you sent that to me, and it totally blessed me. I mean, that's just, I mean, it's an awesome word, and it just shows his love for us, and, you know, it just, it was definitely was a blessing.
Amen. Amen, my friend. And actually, you know, the testimony the Lord wants me to share, it's kind of interesting because the Lord's been showing me how he's the giver of faith. He's the worker of miracles. You know, he works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it's like the Lord's been showing me, you know, I've heard a word that the Lord spoke to Chad a while ago about how the Lord will strengthen him in the midst of his enemies, but his heart has to be right before him. And then that word's really blessed me too, praise the Lord. And so it's this whole thing about just really, really searching the deep things of God, really searching out the Spirit and having our hearts right before the Lord, and praise the Lord that he's merciful and it's definitely not by our own works. But anyway, I wanted to share this because the Lord just did a sobering thing. I think it was like last Saturday or something like that. Anyway, this basically like the Lord's been showing me the importance about true fellowship as well, and about how much power there is in that. And there's a multiplication of faith and grace and peace and all just the gifts of the Spirit. And I was going through a really heavy trial. It started, actually, I think it started a week it started not this last Thursday, but the Thursday before, or I guess today's Thursday. Anyway, I was really battling with a spirit of sickness. And it just really hit me, and I was standing against it. But it's interesting because it's like it seemed like there was also this really heavy oppression of like hopelessness coming against me as well. Like this whole thing of, you know, where there's really I was praying against it and believing, but it's like it seemed like there was a block or something. Something was blocking my faith or something, and I remember I just felt like the Lord tell me, I want you to go home and just get into prayer and spiritual warfare, and it's going to break. And it did. Well, it kind of progressed. It went away for a little bit, and then the devil came right back. And the second time, you know, it was heavier. Basically, it was getting so bad. I mean, I was getting really, really weak. It was a very strange sickness. I've never felt anything like it before. I just couldn't, it's like I would eat, everything that I ate, it's almost like it wasn't absorbing any of the nutrients. It was just passing right on through. And I was eating really good. Actually, the Lord has, praise the Lord for this. You know, he actually changed my eating habits even more. Like the last, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, the Lord just really put it in my heart to eat a little bit better. But of course, not going on that. You know, we know that the Lord's our real spiritual, you know, our real food. But you know, this is just something personally in my life. The Lord was, you know, want to clean up. So, you know, I was eating really good. You know, I was just communing with the Lord and, I just couldn't absorb any nutrients in what I would eat. I mean, I was feeling it physically too. I mean, I was getting really tired at work. I was becoming lethargic. My muscles were, I mean, I felt it was so painful. I would try to walk. I remember I think it was the day of the Lord did a miracle though. Praise the Lord. There was one day, I mean, where it was the worst, and I had to get up and get my daughter to, you know, we had to get up really early, and I had to take her to school, and I was feeling really weak, and I'm like, Lord, I'm just asking you for mercy here, you know. I'm like, I actually that night, I slept like 12 hours, and I usually don't do that, but I mean, I was hit pretty hard. And I was drained every time I would get back from work, and I was just calling out to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, something's off here, you know? And anyway, I mean, it was so bad. I was supposed to go over and fellowship with Chad on Saturday, but I ended up just laying out in bed. And I felt a lot of condemnation coming against me for that too. And just the devil was really coming at my mind about, oh, you know, there's no faith there, and you should be acting out your faith and pushing ahead. You know, just all kinds of silly talk. And so I was getting hit with condemnation and frustration and, even irritation at times. You know, all kinds of things were coming at me. I was just asking the Lord about all this. So the next day when I go to take my daughter to school, I mean, I'm really feeling it. I get up and my whole body just doesn't feel right. Every time I would try to eat something, it would just turn in my stomach, and didn't matter if it was solid food or not, you know, I mean, or if it was a piece of fruit, it would just turn in my stomach, and I would want to vomit. And I've never felt anything like that in my life. It was really intense. And so I get up, and she was, you know, she was going through a trial. She got a, she had like an ear infection thing going on. You know, the devil was trying to put that on her. And there was this temptation to be like, well, she looks like she's not feeling good, you know, and maybe she should stay home and just kind of rest it up a little bit. Because I didn't want to be, you know, any like legalistic or anything. But at the same time, I was like, you know, I came to the Lord about it. I'm like, well, Lord, what, you know, what would you want me to do here, you know? And I heard the Lord say in my spirit, I heard the Lord say, persist. And I was like, well, Lord, which way do you want me to persist? Asking the Lord in which way. And then the Lord, the next time he spoke persist, he showed me the thoughts of my heart. And that the thought was that I just had this desire to lay down and to go to sleep again. And it's like, I knew that I didn't need, I knew it was demonic. It was totally demonic, the attack, because, I mean, that much sleep, you know, and eating really, you know, eating as best as I could, you know, trying to hold whatever down, just wasn't, there's just such a lack of energy physically. And anyway, so we leave, and it's really painful. Like I said, every step of the way, it was weird because it was even hard to hold my own body weight up. And so we get off the, like right before we get off the first bus that we took, the Lord spoke in my spirit because I was just, it was even hard to sit up. And the Lord said, he said, rest in me. He said, rest in me, trust me, for I know your heart. And the moment he said that, it instantly broke the condemnation. That was really coming. I mean, it was really hammering my mind, and it instantly broke it. And I felt peace, and I felt joy. A little, you know, I just felt faith come into my heart when the Lord spoke that. And when I talked to Chad about the, you know, and I shared this with him, he reminded me of a word the Lord gave a while ago about basically it's the Lord's voice that extinguishes the flame when we're being tempted, that puts out the flame of temptation. And so anyway, I go to drop her off, and I'm on my way back, and this time, I mean, I'm basically at that point, and, you know, the scripture says that the Lord will not give us, you know, he will not allow us to be tempted above that which we can bear. I mean, I was at that point where it's like I knew I just couldn't go on physically long anymore. I was calling out to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, what's, I'm just like, Lord, help. You know, I couldn't do anything else. And I was in a place of complete weakness. I mean, I wanted to even lay back on the bus a little bit too. Like I said, it was even painful trying to sit up. And then I'm just just waiting on the Lord and waiting on the Lord. That's all I could do is just wait on him. And I'm just like, well, I'm going to do what all I can do, just wait. And then the Lord spoke into my spirit. Now, I'm not going to use this person's name. The Lord wants, I don't feel the Lord wanting me to use the person's name, but it's somebody that went factious. And he said, you know, so-and-so has set up a trap for some. He said that really clear in my spirit. When he said that, I felt the presence of the Lord wash over me really strong. And on top of that, the Lord instantly healed me. All of a sudden, it was interesting. Well, the healing process, I mean, all this happened so quick. The Lord spoke that. Then the Lord put conviction in my heart and reminded me that I still had contacts, or I guess I kept that person on my contact list on Facebook. And I don't even really get on there. The Lord showed me a while ago about all the vanity at times, and how the Lord just really wanted me to focus on Him in prayer and getting built up in His Word. So I don't really go on there very often. It's really, really rare, and not even for very long. But the Lord was convicting me of that, and He was also convicting my heart too, and just it, basically like my thought process was, well, when I went over to Tennessee back, it wasn't this last October, but it was the October before. This person, you know, I was really blessed by their fellowship. I was really blessed by the spirit that was, you know, the spirit of the Lord that was on them at that time, you know. And when I heard about them leaving the ministry, I couldn't picture it. I'm just like, well, how? I'm like, okay, well, what's? I'm just like, I was just, my mind kept reverting back to Tennessee, and I, you know, how I saw them or envisioned them. Well, the Lord convicted my heart and said that they're not the, you know, they're not the same, that's not how they are now. And I had that line of communication still open. We didn't really message much after a certain point anyway. The time that I heard about that person falling out was right around the time that they sent me a friend request or something. So I wasn't sure about it. I was just kind of like, and you know, at that time I was kind of, I had questions of my own, you know, to the Lord. There's certain things that I was kind of questioning, like, about the ministry, but my heart never departed. You know, I would just bring things to the Lord because I would ask the Lord things, like, okay, well, what about this? So I guess it was more so along the line of just really being, desiring to be led by the Spirit, and so, you know, it'd be just like, you know, fiery darts coming at you. And I know a lot of people have been going through that kind of warfare, but my heart never departed, praise God. You know, I just, because I love the ministry, I love what the Lord's done. I just, all the wonderful meat of the Word, all the revelations that the Lord's given David, all the work in the body, it's beautiful. But I had all these, you know, I just had these little questions here and there, and I just brought them to the Lord, and that was just one of them. And I'm just like, you know, well, I was thinking, well, was it just like a misunderstanding that took place, or some kind of doctrinal difference, or whatever, you know, like, but, so I just kind of like left it to the Lord, and I'm like, Lord, you know, just show me, Father. And, well, He sure did, because I got instantly healed. From whatever that was, it was a demon. Well, I guess it'd be just a demon, but I mean, the spirit washed over me. I remember getting off the bus, and at the same time, when I had that consideration, or when I realized, oh, the Lord is warning me here. You know, He's warning me about this person, you know, specifically, and. The Lord doesn't want me in contact with this person. Like, He doesn't even want the contact possibility open right now. He doesn't want that. And so I waited on the Lord, and He showed me in that way. And I also, so like, I got the healing, and I remember just feeling the the spirit just, it was just like an effusion of it was just like an effusion of like the Lord's goodness in my heart, you know, and I felt like a bunch of demons fly out of my heart and out of the top of my head. And these were things that I was just, you know, battling with at times. I had no idea. Just having that open line was so dangerous. And I really felt it. It was just like, wow, Lord, well, that's a definite confirmation. and I got off the bus, and I had full strength. And I was able to, my muscles didn't hurt at all. I was able to hold up my own weight. I was able to eat just fine after that. I kind of went through the next couple of times that I tried to eat something. I went through a slight, you know, it was like a minor trial, but the Lord told me that the warfare is lifted. And so it was easy to press through it. You know, the Lord just gave a lot of grace to press through. And I praise the Lord. I was just totally healed. The Lord had me immediately. After that happened, he had me immediately. I felt led to email that person one last time and just testify to them what the Lord did. Actually, that's right. There was one other person, too, that I heard about that the Lord had me email and testify what the Lord did. And the Lord had me tell him, you know, that the Lord wants me at this time to separate my heart, separate from anybody that's going their own way. And basically that's kind of what it went, you know, that's what happened. And praise the Lord. And I'm healed now. And there's been a lot of, I've noticed just a change in the atmosphere. The Lord also put this it's like the Lord restored. It's like there were times where I'd be like really going through the warfare and I would try to get into the Word, and it'd be a real great pressing through. It almost felt overwhelming at times. And it would just be hard to get into the Word. It was like there was a block there. And when this lifted off, it was like the desire of the Word instantly just came back into my heart really strong. It didn't feel more like, okay, I have to press through and I have to get this in, you know. I got to get this in. It was more of like, oh, Lord, I'm so hungry for this. Again, praise the Lord. And there's more of a confirmation to me about what those factious spirits do. You know, like the Word says, there's confusion in every vile deed. And those spirits totally take away somebody's desire and hunger for truth. You know, there might be a, you know, the really interesting thing was that this person right before I emailed them, I saw on their page they had a scripture on there, like they were still putting out scriptures, but the Lord reminded me of something. You know, the Lord told me, well, you know, the Pharisees use scriptures all the, you know, they use scriptures all the time. You know, there could be that letter of the Word thing going on, you know, and the Lord's saying, you want the spirit of the Word. That's where life is. That's where peace is. And the Lord also gave me Psalm 55. And I don't think I can read. Let's see. Do you think you could read that, Tim?
Psalm 55? Yeah.
The verse that like popped out right away was verse 21, which is really interesting. The Lord interpreted, I felt like the Lord was telling me, that verse popped out. You know, 21 being the representing the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and then 55, double grace. It's like the Lord was saying, you know, this was this thing that, you know, this miracle that the Lord did was also it was a sign to this person, giving them a sign that it's an opportunity to repent. And I really felt impressed when I was typing to this person. The Lord had me put that in there about repenting and how, you know, the Lord, you know, I just felt so much of the Spirit, and which I'm happy about. Like, just the spirit of grace, you know, praise God. So I felt like, see, it's like the Lord was showing me, look how much love I have. I give so much opportunity for repentance. I give in this case, you know, he was giving this person more time, even though there's all this stuff that they've fallen into. It's like the Lord was saying, you know, here you go. Here's a sign to you. And I'm just praying for him. I'm just hoping that the Lord did something with it. So anyway,
do you want me to read the whole Psalm 55?
I think like just from like verse 12 to 20.
The end? Okay.
Yeah.
For it was not an enemy that reproached me, and I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, O man, my equal, my companion, and my familiar friend. We took sweet counsel together. We walked in the house of God with the throng. Let death come suddenly upon them. Let them go down alive into Sheol. For wickedness is in their dwelling, in their midst of them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning, and at noonday, will I complain and moan, and he will hear my voice. He hath redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for they were many that strove with me. God will hear and answer them, even he that abideth of old. Selah, the man who have no changes and who fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such and were at peace with him. He hath profaned his covenant. His mouth was smooth as butter, but his heart was war. His words were soft. Than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved, but thou, O God, will bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Amen.
Amen. Well, I suppose that's about it, actually.
No, that was awesome. I appreciate you sharing that. And I was really seeing, I mean, some of the amazing things with this is that, you know, Aaron lives on the other end of the United States, and he just visited and was blessed by somebody's fellowship. And what happens is there was an emotional, what I would call a soul tie, you know, his flesh and their flesh, you know, type thing. And we get pulled in, you know, by our emotions. And it was just that meeting and that situation. And then, you know, Aaron finds out that this person went factious, and it's hard, especially with somebody you really like, you really care for, you really love. And the reason this person went factious is because they weren't obedient to the word, and they were given a chance to repent and change their mind and get right with the Lord. And they were told not to associate with other factious people. And this person didn't do that. And where it says that a factious person at their first and second admonition refuse, you know, we're told to refuse them. We're told to not eat with them. We're told to separate from them. And that's being in obedience to the Lord. And even Facebook, I mean, that's just having somebody on your friends on Facebook that you know is factious. The Lord is serious. And the thing is Aaron wasn't even around this person. It was just, there was just something, there was a tie made there. And the Lord, you know, is just showing, you know, Aaron how serious he is with his word. And the thing was, is Aaron had, shared this with me, and there was another person that I knew that was dealing with the same thing that Aaron was going through and with the same person. And when I shared Aaron's testimony, this person was delivered. And they were saying how being in obedience to the Lord and not getting pulled in by your flesh and, you know, is so important, that the Lord is serious. When he says refuse, he means refuse. And, you know, sometimes we justify and, you know, we just want to keep them on our Facebook page and we can, you know, but still those spirits, because faction is a spirit. And when it says that, you know, all confusion and wickedness, I mean, it's just that spirit, if you don't obey the Lord and you walk in disobedience, that spirit can come on you. And, you know, we're not to greet them and we're to refuse them. And it's just the Lord means what he says. So it's, you know, it's an awesome testimony. Were you going to say something there, Michael?
Well, yeah, I'd like to put this testimony in miscellaneous, Aaron, if it's all right with you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, it was... Oh, go ahead, brother.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, I'm going to start typing that up, too. I just kind of busy the last couple of days here with work, but I got some good time in the next couple of days, so yeah, I'll be sure to send that to you, brother. I got to tell you, I just was really, really sobering, and praise the Lord. I mean, just the change in the atmosphere, just the change in, you know, just like the last, ever since that tie was, or that soul tie was cut, I mean, or there's a couple of them, ever since those ties were cut, I mean, there's just been, I've been noticing some big changes and differences, you know, in a really positive way, you know, and there's just been more of a clarity. It's like when those were cut, it's like I just felt presence of the Lord so strong. Like the Lord was saying, I don't want, actually, as a matter of fact, now the Lord's reminding me of this, the Lord also spoke in my spirit and said, cutting off communications with Satan. The Lord was telling me, you know, this person's totally demon possessed now, you know, what they say, you know, it's basically communications with the devil and all that, and the Lord wants to break any weak, fill any chinks in the armor in. And I kind of look, it's like the Lord was showing me the importance of that, about fellowship, about pure fellowship with one another. And anyway, I was just really blown away by it. I had to, immediately I went over to Chad and we fellowshipped and I told him about everything. And as a matter of fact, it's really on my heart to pray for anybody, you know, that might have, might be undergoing any kind of attacks or just somewhat of what I was going through or just any sort of, just any sort of attacks. And, Lord, we just lift up the body to you, Lord. We thank you so much for your love and your kindness, Lord, and your word. Father, that your word is unshakable and you're unmovable, Lord. And you're creating in us, Lord, your Son, your divine nature, Lord, which is unshakable and immovable, Father. You are making us to be unshakable and immovable in the days ahead. And you're doing this, Lord, through all the chastenings, through all the trials that you're bringing us through, Lord. You spoke that scripture right before getting on the call, Lord. You spoke that scripture about chastening, Lord, and about how it brings peaceable fruit. And you also tell us, Lord, when we're chastened, Father, to not faint before you. as you are a God of love and justice, Father. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, you are serious about your word. And Father, we pray, we just pray right now, Lord, for anybody that's going through anything, anybody that has any hidden faults in this way, Father, if there's any factious demons attacking anybody's minds, we bind them up and rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Any Jezebel spirits, any spirits of fornication, or any spirits that would come along, Lord, with those factious spirits, we bind up all the power of the enemy. We put snares in the enemy's camp, Father. Thank you, Lord. We just don't receive it in the name of Jesus. We don't receive any leaven that would try to come in to the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for making divisions where they're needed, and of course, Lord. With that being said, Lord, just keeping the elect together, Father, in one and peace and unity, Lord, really unifying us together more and more. And we pray for breakthrough, Lord. Like Michael was praying to you earlier, Lord, about revival, we pray for that. We pray for truth. We just pray for the gift of repentance upon the body, Father, and that there would be an increase of discernment, Lord, to see the wolves in sheep's clothing, Lord, to see any deceiving spirits, Lord. And we also bind all fear and anxiety and depression that would try to come against anybody as well, Lord. And we pray for peace and joy and just, Lord, we can rejoice in you that you've already done all the work, and you're the one that's giving us the grace, Lord, for obedience. And we thank you, Lord, and in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Aaron. I appreciate you sharing, and that was, I think it blessed a lot of people, and I agree as far as Michael putting that on the miscellaneous, and just love you, man.
Hey, I love you too, man. Love you too, and it was a blessing to share, I tell you. I mean, Lord is good.
Well, that's the thing about testimonies. I mean, when we go through something, when we're able to get the victory and learn from it and share it with others that might be struggling or in a like type of situation, I mean, that's what the body's about. That's what this, you know, room is about, is just sharing. Even, you know, when we fail and have victory, or, you know, the Lord takes us through a trial and we see the error of our way, if we can help others and be transparent and not, you know, just not, because when we hold it back in that, we're not exposing the light, and we're, you know, kind of hiding the enemy or whatever it is, because there's other people going through the same things that we're dealing with. And when somebody has victory, it just, God's no respecter. If he gives you victory, he's going to give us victory. Amen.
Amen.
I love it.
Hey, Tim.
Yes, sir.
We might ask if anybody has any questions about anything that Aaron talked about there. If they have any questions about what this is that we're talking about, we got some new people, so, you know, we don't know.
Okay. So let's throw it out there. Does anybody have any questions, you know, about what Aaron's been talking about, or any questions for Aaron? I'll kind of share. It says, but shun foolish questionings and genealogies and strife and fighting about the law, which is controversies about the word, for they are unprofitable and vain, which is pretty much useless and empty. A factious man, after a first and second admonition, refuse. And what that means is, if somebody is factious after two warnings, you need to rebuke them, you need to refuse them, reject them, avoid them, knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth, being self-condemned. So what they're doing is they're condemning themselves because they're not hearkening to the warnings, they're not hearkening to the word, and truth is trying to be brought to them, and they, you know, they want to stay in their rebellion. And Romans says, "Now I beseech you, brethren," this is 16 and 17, "mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which ye learned, and turn away from them, for they are such, serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly, and by their smooth and fair speech they beguile the hearts of the innocent." So they're serving their belly, they're serving their own flesh, they're serving their own ambitions, and they're beguiling, you know, the innocent as far as that. So it says, this is 2 John 1 and 9, "Whereso goeth onward and abide not in the teachings of Christ, have not God. He that abideth in the teachings, the same hath both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes unto you and brings not this teaching, receive him not in your house, and give him no greeting. For he that giveth them greeting partake in the evil works." And that's the trap that Aaron was talking about, is giving them a greeting. And that's where the trap is set. And if you're pulled in by your emotions, you're going to get snared in that trap. So,
hey, Tim, give some more, if you guys are up to that, however you want to explain it. When we talked about faction a little bit and kind of what you're seeing from a factious person, now, how is that going to fit with the ministry? What are you going to see in this individual? How is he coming in and affecting the body? What is going to be the, it's going to be something that's going to stand out, and this person is not going to repent from that. It's something that's affecting the body with the faction. So we can give kind of live examples and why we're talking about this. So in case people don't understand, the factions happen many times here. It happens in all ministries, but especially it's designed to try to take it apart and separate the body. So maybe if you want to explain a little bit about what was happening with some people, some individuals, how this came about, so that they can understand what it is they see in a faction. Would that be okay or no?
Yeah, that's fine. I'll share a little bit, and then whatever's on Michael's heart. But really, a factious person is somebody that is trying to draw other brethren onto them, sort of like Korah, sort of like Absalom, where they've got self ambitions, and what they're doing is typically they're speaking against the leadership. They're coming against the truth. They're causing divisions, in the fellowship. And what happens is it could start with one person. And if somebody's talking about somebody else or talking against somebody else, the response should be, "Have you gone to them?" You're not supposed to listen to that. That is gossip. That's slander. And if you listen to it, the Lord's going to judge you. So you need to correct that brother, and you need to, you know, have them, because they're supposed to, if they've got an issue with someone, they're supposed to take it to the person that they've got issue with. But typically what will happen is they'll try to draw people to themselves. They'll talk to one person about somebody else, and then talk to somebody else and try to, you know, divide people on their side. And faction wants to divide. And there's only two sides in the body, and there's Christ and there's Antichrist. And if you're trying to divide the body, any type of division, that's Antichrist as far as that. And typically what I've seen is if you don't agree with somebody, take it to them. If you don't agree, and what I've seen, it amazes me, is that there'll be somebody that is just, you know, was drawn to UBM by the truths and the teaching, and they're excited and all that, but then there's something in them. They're looking for position. They're looking for, you know, respect or, you know, whatever it is. And you know, they could deal with rejection or whatever it is. But what happens is that they get offended or something happens. Their flesh is not pleased and they want to start, you know, start dividing. And the thing is once somebody goes factious and in the local assembly, it's been pretty awesome because the Lord has always brought warning through dreams, through words. It's been amazing, but faction is actually what I've learned is really is of the Lord, and it's how he thins out the body. If somebody isn't walking in obedience to the Lord and they're told not to talk to somebody or somebody goes factious or whatever it is, if they're more tied in with their emotions or friendship or whatever it is, this spirit jumps on them. And when the spirit jumps on them, when Aaron talks about the confusion, that person totally changes. You know them one day and the next day you don't. It's like their mind has been taken away. It's like a lot of the truth that has been in them, the truth that they walked in, is just lifted from them. God just removes his grace and, you know, turns them over to a reprobate mind. And I've never seen anything like it, but it really, once you do see it, it's a serious thing, and it puts the fear of the Lord in you. So, I mean, that's pretty much what I've experienced. Michael, do you want to share?
Well, yeah, that you did real well, Tim, explaining everything about it. Let me just preface that with this demon that is on them. All it wants is you to acknowledge these people. And that demon will jump on you. We've seen it happen time and time again. When the word says you are not to even greet them, that's what it means. You're not to even greet them. Because if you greet them, that spirit will jump on you. And you'll just be just as addle-minded as they are. If you don't repent of it real quick. I'm telling you, we've seen it happen fast, real fast. And here's what's so sad about it. The people that have families that get into this, they drag their whole family into it. We've had wives that say, yeah, we know that the husband is like that, you know, and we're just going to stay with the Lord, you know. But to the T, every one of them so far has gone with the husband or the wife that turned factious. And the children, they drag the children into it too. And when the children come into it, they turn from these nice young teenage kids and stuff, and they go whole hog for the world. And it's just amazing. We had one guy that went from a spirit-filled man. God just took everything he knew out of him, and now he's in the Mormon church of all things. And it's just, it's amazing how God just flips the switch on them and takes everything that they knew, that they used to know, out of them, and they just go back. You know, they slide way back. Now, we're believing for some of them, for whoever God chooses to come back. And we've had dreams and visions about some of them coming back humbled and full of humility. And I believe that's going to happen. But, folks, I'm telling you, you got to, if the word says don't greet them, don't greet them, because that's a dangerous demon. What happens is that factious demon will jump on you, and it we call it a stupid demon, because it absolutely changes the whole makeup of a person. They go from a loving person to someone that's full of hate and anger and bitterness and slanderous, liars, thieves. They make thieves out of them too. It's just almost to the T. So this very dangerous to go against God's work when this faction demon is involved. That's all I got there, Pete.
That's really good. I'd like to share just a little bit, not much for this situation with UBM, but from my own personal experiences, and I don't know if this will help anybody. It's kind of, you have to balance things in your life. You know, because I work every day, you're around factious people because there's a lot of people that are not saved. We all know that. They're not trying to walk the walk. They're usually in religion, or there's something in their life that's not bringing them the full conviction of Jesus Christ. And so they're not trying to walk in perfection. They're not trying to walk holy. They're not trying to make sure they're not offending others. And so you'll see a lot of factious spirit come out of people a lot, especially for the people that aren't even trying to walk with the Lord, period. They don't have a relationship. It's just them. They'll say things. They'll always talk about people and talk behind people and God. So what I have to do is I just have to just not associate with a lot of people. I mean, I do my business. I have to do with them. But the minute that spirit starts coming out, I have to find a way to get away from it. And I can't correct some of these people because they're not Christians. I can't tell them, well, do you know? Because they're not going to receive what I have to say. But I cannot let this become part of me. So I have to still have a wall. I still have to not receive it. And then I just discount. I just don't let whatever anybody tells me come into me for any reason for anything at all. And I don't like talking about people. I will not let that come out of my mouth. But the serious part about this faction is if it ever involves anybody in the church setting that we are intimately involved with, and even if we're at a level of being like on this telecon and we're associating with each other, and then a factious person comes in, that which we're talking about to a degree here, that faction is at some point brought to light. We, even on the telecon, have the responsibility at that point, not if the elders or somebody in the leadership of UBM says we have a factious person here and we have to not associate with them. And this is, you know, everybody that's going to say this is going to do this in a very sincere way, and we're going to be very upset. Everybody is. Nobody's real happy to see this happen. But we have a responsibility as a body not to disrespect what's being said and abide by that. Because that, even though this is over the airways, over the internet, over the phone, that spirit has no bounds when it comes to this body. So it can easily come in and affect you. And that's the danger we're trying to express here. You're going to be in the world and you're going to be around it all the time. But when you're in the body of Christ and you have to go around it, then it has to be dealt with on a whole different level. And it's dealt with very seriously, and we have to take it serious. I guess that's how I wanted to share a little bit.
Yeah, amen. I mean, there's a difference. I mean, yeah, there's the world is full of faction, you know, faction strifes and that. But the difference is in a body, it says after the first and second warning, it's, you know, I've had, you know, a faction spirit jump on me. You know, Trish has, Michael has. I mean, there's people in the body that has had that spirit jump on them, and all of a sudden your thoughts just, you know, start changing. You start coming against the ministry or against David or against other people or whatever it is. But the thing is if you're not puffed up, if you're not full of pride, if you're not, you know, if you're puffed up or that, you got to be humble. And if you ask for prayer, you go to somebody and, or somebody sees it, you know, David or Michael or somebody sees it, you know, sees a spirit on you, and you say, hey, pray for me. As soon as they pray, that spirit is gone as far as that. The problem is the Lord gives you grace in a fellowship, you know, when it's pointed out, if you don't turn after a warning or after a second warning, and you continue in your ways, you're to be refused, and you know, and the, and it's told to the church. And if the church continues and just greets that person, because that person can come off so loving and so caring, and in you know, we know some factious people that have come back to the ministry or have gotten pulled into faction, and so, you know, they're still in the Word, they still think they're right with the Lord, they just they think that everybody else is wrong, and they're just turned over to deception. And they think that, you know, they are fine, and, you know, but the thing is they won't get right, they won't repent, they won't, you know, work things out. And you know, it's really coming to the body and repenting. They're just, they think they're right and you're wrong, and that's, you know, there's only one body. So it's, you know, it's a little different in a fellowship than in the world, but because you're under the obedience of the Lord. If you bring correction to somebody and they continue, you need to refuse them, and then, you know, the Lord will basically take care of them, and he'll just you know, reprobate them. It's amazing what you see happen.
Hey, Tim?
So, yes, sir.
Yeah, you might want to make. Address the differentiation that, you know, what David was talking about was something that Paul made a differentiation between those that are considered a brother versus those who are in the world.
Amen. I guess I don't understand.
Because he was talking about that, the same situation where you need to separate from somebody and not eat with them and not greet them and all that kind of thing. But then he said, I'm not speaking of those who are in the world. Otherwise, you must needs go out of the world. Remember that statement that Paul makes there?
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly where that's at.
I'm not either. Right now I'm of the working class.
Okay.
I think maybe what you might be talking about, Malcolm, is Christians that are still in the world. Is that what you're saying?
No, Paul's talking about somebody who's considered a brother. And to separate from somebody who...
Oh, yeah, the world.
In the world, but, I mean, who's a brother compared to somebody who's just in the world, who's like a Gentile, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's in 1 Corinthians 5.
Yeah, okay. Is that purging out the old leaven?
Yeah.
Purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. Even as you are unleavened, for our Passover also has been sacrificed, even Christ. Wherefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in my epistles to have no company with fornicators, not at all. Meaning with them that fornicate of the world, and with the covetousness, and then the extortioners or the idolaters, for them must ye needs go out of the world. But as it is, I wrote unto you not to keep company if any man that is named a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or reviler or a drunkard or even extortioner, with such a one no not eat. Amen.
Well, it goes on to say, can I finish that out for you?
You can.
But what have I to do with judging them that are without? He's talking about the without the body of Christ. Do not you judge them that are within? That's the people in the church. That's what he's been talking about. But them that are without, God judges. Put away the wicked man from among yourselves. That's in your body, in the body of Christ. Put them away.
Amen. So yeah, I just see where you know, the Lord is serious about being in obedience, and you know, on both sides. It just and if he tells you to put away, if he tells you to separate, then you need to do that in obedience. And that's something that the church really doesn't do. They let a lot of shenanigans go on because they don't want to lose members, and they're not really admonishing anybody or anything like that. But the Lord wants us to be, you know, to be serious, because these are just demon spirits. They're just, you know, works of the flesh that, you know, want to separate and divide. So, but the Lord will use it to thin out the body. Since we've been through, you know, some waves of faction, the whole body has changed. There's just so much love and so much, I mean, the whole body has just been, as it's been being purged, I mean, it's just amazing how close the body is coming, and we're coming into one accord. There's just a whole different spirit as far as in the body, and the Lord has done it. None of us have done anything. The Lord has revealed, he's taken them out, the people that don't walk in obedience and listen to the ones that fall into faction are taken out, and they're just not in obedience, and the Lord just uses it to cleanse the body.
Amen. You know, when you've got sin in the camp, God can't bless the camp. We've learned that is that God cannot bless the camp if there's sin in it. And if you've got faction in the camp, that's sin. And nobody gets blessed. You know, there might be a little blessing here or a little blessing there, but as far as the whole camp itself, a whole body itself, it's not going to get blessed until it's purged of all the tares. And that's what essentially God has been doing here, is just purging the test. I mean, purging the body of all the tares. The people who don't want to change are gone. And it's God that sends them on the way. I mean, it's nothing that we do. It's what God does. Just like Tim was talking about, we'll get these dreams and visions about somebody, and boy, the next thing you know, they're gone. If they don't repent, if they rather hold on to their flesh and their pride and their ego rather than bow down in humility and obedience to God, then they're gone. That's just a natural fact here. And that's what God's doing, even in this fellowship here. I know some of you are going through trials. You're going through trials, and you ought to be rejoicing for going through those trials, because those trials, when you come out on the other side, you will be so blessed. That bondage will be lifted off of you, and God will be blessing you. My goodness gracious sakes alive. It's just awesome what God's doing, you know. We're not the same people we were when we started this.
Mike, amen. Tim?
Yes.
Yeah, Malcolm.
Go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, I just, you know, I guess most of us have come out of, the Lord asked us to come out of her, my people. You know, it's so frustrating even now, because I'm still, I kind of can see what's going on in a nearby church or fellowship, and the consequence of not following this, you know, not dealing with factious type stuff is the consequence is so high, and the agony and the splitting, the division, and the people choosing sides, and you know, it's just, it's endless. It goes on and on. The thing is, I have to. It's difficult, because especially if you're still seeing this kind of stuff going on, you want to step in and say, you know, you guys, why don't you just follow the Bible here? But I think what in the part of the process of God calling us out is to really not get involved in other people's tainted fellowships issues, and just deal and just start coming into what God has for us, whatever that is, and be obedient in this new situation we all find ourselves in, which is, you know, for some of us like Chad and Charity and Aaron and others, and you know, we're all kind of isolated physically, but no, we don't have to get involved in those situations anymore. Because it's too common. I mean, if you think about, I was thinking about this the other day. You got ISIS beheading people, and killing people and terrible, terrible stuff going on all around the world. You got the Hindus, all these different groups that are terrible things are happening, people in, being persecuted in prison around the world. Well, the Lord doesn't put all those things before our mind all the time, because otherwise we'd be so overwhelmed we couldn't function. So I think using that same thinking is, I think part of the Lord asking me to come out of my situation was to let that go, to let those situations go that I can't fix. I was trying to fix it from within, you know. That was my thinking for many years. Well, you know, I don't agree with the system, but I'm going to stay here and try to fix things from within. But the Lord isn't, that's not where, I don't think that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to not even fix it from without. He just wants us to follow Him and be obedient to Him. And what I do find refreshing in the UBM setting, and I don't know about others because I'm not really associated, but it's just refreshing to see that these scriptures are being followed, that we don't associate with those who are factious. We don't. I think it's really exciting, actually, even though it's hard. But, man, the consequence of not obeying this, you know, like Aaron and others have are saying that it's pretty rough when you disobey that. I'm not saying, Aaron, that you're disobeying that. I'm just, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying it's neat to see what the Lord's doing, you know, when the Lord's in charge. Understand what I'm saying, Aaron?
Oh, yeah, sorry, I was on mute.
No, it's okay.
I totally know what you're saying. The Lord showed me that what it really was. It's like the Lord, it was like a chastening, but it was a chastening on the old nature, you know? The Lord quite a while ago showed me one time a vision of a sword right above me. And at that time I was going, you know, this was like back in 2010 or something. And the Lord showed me this vision of this sword and it was pointed straight at me. I was like, oh. During this time, you know, I was going, you know, there's a lot of condemnation that I was struggling with and legalism and all this. And the Lord was like basically saying, calm down, you know, like, yeah, he's like saying, my sword's not against you, it's against your flesh. So, I totally know. I know where you're coming from. I just feel like, you know, it's like the Lord just, he has us go through these things, these trials, to really purge out what was in, you know, really, really bring correction, bring light, really purge out what was in there to begin with. And there was just something in there in my own heart that I wasn't quite seeing. The enemy had, you know, the enemy puts all, like Tim said, all kinds of justification in your mind and thinking, okay, well, there's a part of me that was thinking, well, maybe, Lord, you would have me share something with this person, you know, that would possibly, you know, Lord, I mean, at the time, this whole thing, I'm just like, well, Lord, I leave this person up to you. Maybe you'd have me share something with them that would get into their heart. And, you know, I just had, the enemy was putting all kinds of thoughts in my mind there about that. And the Lord was showing me, you know, the only way for somebody to turn into repent is through Him. And in this case, the Lord was saying, no, you know what Brother David's talking about really just severing those lines, severing those communications, you know, what he's talking about, it's coming straight from the Lord Himself. And it just made it more real to me. Anyway, good to hear your voice, by the way, Malcolm. Good to hear your voice.
I was on mute, too. Yeah, yours, too, Aaron. Wow, it's so cool to hear you talking. And so.
Amen. Thanks, brother.
Thank you. The amazing thing here is the Lord, when Michael is saying he brings dreams and visions and that, there's been people that were told that they were going to fall into faction, and they said, oh no, not me, not me, and they fell into faction. There was a factious person that had a dream about being in a camp and had a whole list of people that were in this camp with them okay? And they wrote out this dream, and they listed all the names of the people that were in this camp, and it was like a FEMA camp type thing. And it turns out that the people on this list started falling into faction. And this dream was out there, you know, for a ways. And everybody that was in that camp, in this dream, that the Lord gave to a factious person to warn them, everyone in that camp, in that dream that was listed, fell into faction. And the last person that fell out was warned that you're the last person in that dream, that you're going to fall into faction. And they're like, oh, no, no, no. And they fell into faction. So the Lord, you know, it's just amazing to me. I mean, it's amazing to me that the Lord gave Aaron that testimony just because of Facebook on the other end of the United States. It just, I mean, that just blows my mind. But that testimony totally blessed somebody else that was dealing with the same thing Aaron was dealing. And that's just how the Lord works. I mean, he brings dreams, he brings correction, he gives you dreams. And are you going to take heed to those dreams? And he gives the ministry dreams, and there's warnings. You know, we pray against it. But if you don't abide in the Lord, then there's no mercy, there's no grace. Amen.
Tim.
Yes, Malcolm.
Yeah, I just don't want to barge in talking. I'm paranoid.
This is fellowship. I mean, you can all.
Yeah, I didn't need to say that. But anyway, I was thinking about, you know, the situation at the Last Supper when Jesus was sitting there with the disciples around, and he said something that was, he said that one of you is going to betray me, and all the disciples started, except maybe Judas, was just, had this inner question, you know, is that me? And I think the Lord intended that. He wanted people to look at themselves and think, well, is that me? And to just deny, no, that wouldn't be me, is kind of bordering on the Judas thing, because I think he wants us to ask that question, is it me? Because everything we have comes from God, and even the mercy any given day to be following him is, and the grace to follow him is from him. Because if it weren't for him, like Jesus said, only those that the Father, only those that the Father draws will come to me. Well, that's, I shouldn't say scary, because we don't live by fear, but that's something to seriously think about, because if the Father doesn't draw us, then we won't be drawn. So just like the Shulamite in the first chapter of Song of Solomon, draw us, we will run after you. So unless we're drawn, we're not running after him.
No, and that's something that should put the fear of the Lord in you, that most Christians take for granted, that they think they're going to fly away and they'll never lose their crown. And there's no fear of the Lord there. But it should give us hope that we've got the grace, that the Lord has given us grace to put in our heart to run after him. But we need to be obedient, and we need to take that grace that he gave us and walk that walk, and not, you know, just haphazardly. Amen. Because there's not many people. And this, you know, these factions, I mean, that's why there's whatever it is, 2,000 different denominations out there of Christ. They just keep, you know, it's just divisions of flesh. It's just man. It's just, all this is just stirring up the body. And that's why we just have to just stay in the word that was taught from the beginning and walk in that. So, and the Lord is merciful. He brings warnings. He gives dreams. He, you know, I mean, and what you said, is it me, Lord? Is it me, Lord? There's times when David has brought a warning, And I know the whole congregation is like, is it me? Is it me?
That's true. Oh, Lord, no, it's not me.
I mean, there was one factious person that, you know, the Lord gave, you know, it was gave, you know, gave, you know, I don't know, it was David a dream or a word or something like that, that he was Judas. And he took it to that person and said that, you know, the Lord showed me that you're Judas. And that person called him up and says, hey, I asked the Lord, who am I? And I put my, and he opened up the word by faith, put his finger right down on Judas, you know? So it's just amazing. So,
well, you know, in the body of Christ, we have Judases who don't repent. And then we have the Peters. Remember, Peter denied Christ three times. Standing up, you know, he denied it to a woman even. But when the Lord looked at him, what happened? Oh, man, he wept in bitter remorse because of what he'd done, what the Lord had told him beforehand. He said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the night's out. And boy, did he. And then when that thought came to his mind, you just did that, bud. Boy, he went into repentance, remorseful humility, and cried out to the Lord. And of course, the Lord restored him. And we got some Peters too, you know, Peters that denied Christ and that are coming back. But there's some Judases, you know, also.
Yeah, I like what the angel said to it to the women to take the message to the disciples, tell the disciples and Peter. I think that is way cool. Because I'm sure Peter really felt like he was on the outs at that point.
Hello?
Hey, Andrew.
Hey. What's that scripture verse there about the factious being strivers and enviers? And then there's the one that's the goodwill preacher. So what I'm trying to figure out here is you're giving us all these examples, but what can you give us that would protect us from these factious so that we can only hear what is good and the will of God? Like, is there maybe a passage that, because, you know, I've got my Bible open now to Proverbs 23, because it was mentioned something there about eating. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is set before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meats. Well, you know, he's not talking about the Hamburglar at McDonald's. So, you know, if is that where you're going here? Like, is this a proverb that would probably help you to keep you away from the factious? Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
I'm not really understanding the question, but go ahead.
Well, you know, I'm just sort of considering that, like, what you're talking about, these factious people, and there are all these different doctrines and denominations and stuff. Is there a way? Well, that sort of answers it. Is there a way that you can maybe help some of the people by giving them something that would protect them from these people? That would...
Yeah, we just shared the verses that told about not associating with them at all. Once they refuse to repent, if that's what you're talking about, we're talking about Titus... Well, 1 Corinthians 5 is 1-2. What's that one in Titus?
I'm not sure. Is it Titus?
Just a minute. I'll get it.
3 and 9? Or 3 and factious man at 1st, 2nd? That one?
Yeah. I heard that, yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess I think what you're saying is...
What I want you to do is maybe just take that verse and really dumb it down a lot. So that maybe a person of single digit in age can understand it.
Okay.
You know, the factious man by a 1st and 2nd admonition,
warning,
refuse.
Right.
Okay. So this is someone who is called, but is wrong.
Right. Well, it's just it ties in with a lot of things. I think what you're saying is we need to be in the Word and asking the Lord to lead us in the Word and show us truth in the Word. And when we're in that truth, we learn that we're not to gossip, we're not to be a slanderer, we're not to, you know, we learn a lot of what the Lord calls, you know, unrighteousness or works of the flesh or that. And you know, and the factious is just, you know, bringing strife, bringing division, bringing contentions among the brethren. And it's really something that, you know, when we walk in obedience to the Word and we see our brother sin, if our brother is or sister is gossiping about somebody else, and that person that they're talking about isn't standing right there, or they're slandering, talking about somebody.
Oh, okay. I see where you're coming from there.
Right. If they're trying to change your opinion of somebody else and that person isn't there, I mean, that's slander and a gossiper. Or if they're railing against somebody else or whatever it is, that's sin. That's wrong. We need to correct our brother. And if we walk in that obedience and they repent, we win that brother. But if they don't repent, okay, then that's when we bring a witness and we go to them. And if they still don't repent, then we tell it to the church.
That's Matthew 18:15-20.
Right. It's the same thing with a factious person. They're in sin. They get, you
know. May I reiterate one thing here, though?
Yeah.
There are factious people who know to go through these things, too. These steps.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's between them and the Lord.
Yeah, but, you know, there are factious people who would go through those steps that you're going to mention there, where you have to go and take another person and bring them before. I guess what I'm saying is they would do the same process that the elders at UBM would do, but they may be wrong in some of their doctrine in some of these denominations. Wouldn't they do the same order of events as the Lord instructs them?
Okay. Can I interject something here, Tim?
Oh, yeah. Just jump in. You don't have to ask.
Okay. Andrew, we're talking about two different things now. We're talking about factious people, and we're also talking about gossipers and railers and slanderers. A factious man is someone who causes division. I go back behind Tim's back, and I go to you and I say, you know that Tim, he's this or he's that or whatever, you know, and you agree with it rather than pointing out to him, you can't do that, man. That's faction. That's faction right there. And you are to stop it. And if you don't, then and you go, let's say.
Oh, okay. I get you then.
Okay.
You can't.
It has to stop. And then the elders get involved. And then when the elders get involved, they go to the man and they say, man, look, this is what you're doing. Would you consider, you know, just going by the scriptures and here? And if they don't want to do anything, they don't feel like they did anything wrong by going behind somebody's back without, you know, at first going to them. Yeah, then you factious man after a first and second admonition, not three, not judging them, not taking them before the church, but the factious man after a first and second admonition refuse him, knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth and being self-condemned. So there's two different things there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I got you now.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just thinking back in the past to all the different churches I went to. Okay, I got you now. Okay. Thanks. Okay, well, that was it. I'm going to mute myself now.
No, that's fine.
Thank you for bringing that out, Andrew. That's a good point.
I mean, this is really what this fellowship is about, is if you got questions, go ahead and bring them out, and we'll do our best. And if we don't know, we'll find out and search the word and bring it back the next week. So we'll just kind of share our testimony, what we've experienced or what the Lord has showed us. And, you know, if the Lord's shown somebody else something different, you know, we'll search it out in the scriptures. All right. We're kind of winding down on time. Does anybody else need prayer or have anything on their heart or, you know, question or anything that we need to wrap up?
I would like prayer behind all this faction stuff.
Behind all this faction stuff?
I'm explaining it wrong. Let me say it again. Because, someone that we know that was faction. Just came into my house uninvited, and I was blown away by that. But I had said, well, look, if you're going to start with that again, you know, get out, I think. And what I need to repent is because I didn't ask her to come in, but I allowed her to stay in. And then the next day after that, she called me on the phone, and I'm like, wow, why? And my husband started acting funny. He's acting funny. And I'm feeling like, okay, listening to everything, I need to repent because I didn't throw her out when she did come in. And I opened the door somewhere, not knowing exactly where, because my husband's acting different and it's not right. And so I think I just need prayer.
Amen. All right, well, let's pray. So, Father, right now, we just come against any factious spirit on Sandy or Jeff, and we just call that spirit off them now in the name of Jesus. We just rebuke that spirit. Sandy, you need to repent for letting that person in.
I know, and I was the whole time that we were talking, and Lord, I am so sorry that I just didn't throw them out and say, just get out. And Lord, I was caught dumbfounded. I didn't know what to do. I didn't invite them, but they just came in. And Lord, I pray that I handle it different. I pray that if it happens again, I just, you know, throw them out. Or Lord, I pray that you just keep them from coming to my door, that you just keep them from coming anywhere around me and my husband. And Lord, I don't even know how she got my phone number. And Lord, I just pray that all communications are just stopped. And Lord, I'm sorry. I am sorry. I do not want any faction in my household. I don't want no division with me and my brethren, with me and my husband. Lord, the only desire that I have is to follow you, is to be in your perfect will.
Amen. So, Father, right now we just take authority over those factious spirits. We call them off of Sandy and off of Jeff now in Jesus' name. And Father, give Sandy the boldness to refuse and to say no, as far as to anybody, not be drawn in by, you know, her flesh or her emotions. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sandy, you're okay. It's under the blood sacrifice, okay? Jesus,
okay,
he's there for that.
Amen.
I need
absolutely,
to hear that.
Absolutely. And I want you to know that your heart's for the Lord and your heart's for your fellow man. That's what he wants. That's his kingdom. He wants you to see your heart dedicated to him, and you just confess that you're fine. It's a test, you passed. We all go through.
And right.
Just keep up the faith, okay?
And the thing is, and that's you know, I mean, the Lord knows your heart. I mean, just the factious, you know, person that Aaron was talking about. I was in Subway one day, and I was walking out, and they were sitting right next to the door, and they said hello, and my hands, I mean, you're just the natural thing when you see somebody, you know, my hands started to go up. It got about halfway up, and I realized it. And I just put my hand down and walked out the door. And it's really hard to do because you're natural. You just want to, you know, you see somebody, you know, you want to say hello, and it's, but that's greeting them. And I just,
yeah.
I went into a haphazard wave to them, and I just put my arm down and just walked out the door. And it's tough to do, but the word says is that is shame them. That's to bring shame on them. So hopefully that they will, you know, see that, be convicted, and get right with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
But
well,
he knows.
You know, when I was listening to everybody talk, and I don't remember who said it, but you know, we're not supposed to eat with them or have fellowship or anything with them. And when this person called me the next day, they called me to, I want to see you one more time before I leave, and let's go eat. And I was like, what? and so I was blown away by all this.
Right.
And I was listening. I thought, no, you know, I don't want to have no door open in any kind of way, shape, or form. So I need to ask for prayer, and I'm going to tell on the devil right now.
Amen. And you haven't been on in a long time. And what was the topic of tonight? I mean, that God is sovereign.
He just loves us so much. I felt like this whole night was just for me.
Well, now we know why we had this conversation.
Yeah, Sandy. Hey, Aaron, you went through that whole trial just for Sandy.
So thank you, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, anybody else need prayer or anything before we close out? All right, so Father, we just thank you for another awesome night, Lord, just allowing us to just learn your truth and walk in obedience and know that you are serious, Lord. And we just thank you for the testimony that Aaron brought forth and how it just, you know, just opened up truth and just blessed others and just brought forth how serious you are, just being obedient to your word, Lord. So, Father, we just thank you for Aaron. We thank you for, you know, just giving him the bless him for just being obedient and bringing forth that testimony. And we just ask you just bless everybody in the room, that you just give them a hunger for truth, give them a hunger for your word, give them a hunger for obedience, and just work them, Lord, to die to the, you know, put to death that old man and to allow your spirit to just radiate through them, Lord. And we just thank you for that. Bless their week. Just give them favor in their work. Give them favor in their family, and give them favor in all they do, Lord. And we just thank you for just all that you're doing in their lives and our lives. And we just thank you for blessing this body and providing this tool that we can come together and pray and edify. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. It's been an awesome night, and We'll see you next Tuesday. Love you.